You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
They're off in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Watch the Breeders' Cup for free on William Hill's Betting TV. There'll be live studio analysis in the UK and experts stateside with the call live from Delmar.
Arrowgate steals the show in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Plus, all your betting online and on the William Hill app. Watch the Breeders' Cup for free on Betting TV, on the app or at wh.cm/TV.
The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to this special edition of the Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to the Breeders' Cup 2017. The action heads to Del Mar for the 2017 renewal. 2 days of cracking racing from California on the way. And you'll be able to watch every single Breeders' Cup race on William Hill's Betting TV at wh.cm/TV. You can find Betting TV on the William Hill app and on the William Hill website. As mentioned, every race from the Breeders' Cup is live and free on William Hill's Betting TV. Promises to be two superb days of racing. Sam Norris here, and joining me on the line is Alistair Jones to preview some of the best races of the week. How are you, Ali?
Very well. Thank you, Sam.
Good. It's an interesting looking renewal as ever for the Breeders' Cup this year, and made even more interesting by the fact that it heads to Del Mar for the first time, where the turf meets the surf, Ali.
Absolutely, yeah. It certainly adds an interesting element, because nobody quite knows what to expect. Even the locals are sort of scratching their heads as to what biases, if any, will exist. I think the old saying goes that when the tide's out, it favours the speedsters, but when the tide's in, it gets a bit more moisture in the ground, so it favours the horses that are held up. But whether that's true or not, we'll find out. I think the key is basically to watch the early action and sort of draw your own conclusions, you know, as to what bias will exist. But it's typically American. It's a quick track. It's sort of a mile round, and you've got various chutes, you know, to cater for the extra distances. But you need a high cruising speed and a turn of foot. I think that's the key element, especially with the ground likely to be on the quick side.
Yes. In years gone by, at the likes of Santa Anita and Keeneland, course and distance form has been absolutely crucial, Ali. Do you think that is likely to be the case again this year?
I think most definitely, yeah. Del Mar is a real quirky track. I mean, God, if you want any example, is the fact that Arrogate has been beaten on his last two visits there. You know, he's sort of invincible anywhere else. And yet even those connected to the horse have admitted that he hasn't, you know, been entirely at home on the dirt surface there. So I think course and distance form, whether, you know, course form anyway, whether it's on the dirt or on the turf, will be worth its weight in gold.
Yes, absolutely. What do you think of the European hand this year, Ali? Do you think there's any raiders with real potential?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've got our usual bankers for turf, isn't it? And I think we look good in that with Elysees and Highland Reel. I don't think Marshall will win myself, but the French have got a chance in the mile. I don't think we've actually won the mile since 1994 with Barathea, which is going back a few years. But it suits the French horses, because they go pretty slow and they quicken up. And you know, very similar to how the French race. So I think Zelzal is a very interesting horse in the mile. But I expect our two-year-olds to hold up well. You know, the turf races for two-year-olds, historically, we do well in. You know, our two-year-olds tend to be a lot more aggressively campaigned than the Americans. And therefore, you know, come this end-of-season test, we sort of, you know, we are more battle-hardened. And I expect the two-year-olds to be very competitive.
OK, let's dive into the action then. We'll go through the Grade 1 races one by one. We've got four of them on Friday night, and then an absolute banquet of Grade 1 racing on Saturday. We begin with the 9:25 then on Friday evening. This is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. on the turf, obviously. Over a mile, grade one contest for the two-year-olds. And Rushing Fall heads the betting at 130 at time for recording for Chad Brown, who's won two of the last three renewals. 7-2 for Happily. September is 9-2. Juliet Capulet is 9-1. 10-1 Significant Form. Best performance is 16-1 with Kappa Temptress. Madeline is 16-1, as is Orbi Lucian, and 20-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. It's actually a race that's eluded Aidan O'Brien in his career so far. There can't be too many races that he still hasn't won, but has got a very strong hand in this year's renewal.
Yeah, he's got Happily in September. Both, of course, you know, bring Group 1 honours to the table, win or placed form at the very highest level. And as I said earlier, you know, our two-year-olds tend to be more aggressively campaigned than the Americans. If you look at what they've achieved as opposed to, Rushing Fall, for instance, who has only had the two races. So whether that one will know quite enough to beat the best of the Europeans remains to be seen. Chad Brown also has a live candidate in Significant Form, who was a winner of a Group 3 at Belmont last time in a really good time. There's a very loud whisper for that horse. But I expect the Europeans to be fairly dominant here. Easy to make a case for the Coolmore too. But also, she could be better drawn, but Juliet Capulet, the Golston filly, is definitely interesting. I mean, the Rockfell Stakes this day and age is a really strong race, and I was most taken by her winning performance that day. She held on narrowly in the closing stages, but she was just in front far too soon and was merely idling. I expect a Tory, especially from stall 13, she'll have no option but to drop her in. Will definitely play a waiting game on Friday. I think that Rockfell form is rock solid, and you know, even though she does have stamina to prove up to a mile, I think 7 furlongs at Newmarket is pretty much, a mile at Del Mar will be the equivalent of 7 at Newmarket. So I don't see the longer trip being an issue at all. And I think she could be a bit of value.
Yeah, 9-1 for Juliet Capulet. You fancy taking her in the first of the Grade 1 races this weekend. On to the 10.05 race then, which is the dirt mile. On the dirt, over a mile, it's a Grade 1 contest. More Spirit is the 7-4 favourite. 9-2 for Accelerate. Sharp Azteca is 9-2. 5-1 for Practical Joke. 9-1 about Cupid. Battle of Midway, 14-1. 16-1 Awesome Slew. Giant Expectations 20-1 and 25-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. Perhaps no surprise to see no European Raiders lining up in this race, but we do have a strong favourite in the shape of More Spirit, who's on a four-timer here for Bob Baffert and Mike E. Smith. Plenty of people will be drawn to that combination.
Absolutely, yeah, and without doubt, this horse is a worthy favourite. I mean, he produced an astonishing performance in the Metropolitan Handicap last time, which is a Grade 1. That was, without question, the best display over a mile on dirt in America all year, and it's a run that really does set him apart. The glaring concern is that he's been off the track for what, nearly 150 days, and even though he's trained by a genius in Bob Baffert, that lack of recent match practice is definitely a concern when you're playing at odds of 7-4, I think he said there, Sam. So I think purely from a value perspective, there's no question that More Spirit is the most likely winner of this race, but he takes a lot of the market. And there could be a bit of value here. And there's a horse called Battle of Midway. I think he said it was 12-1. This horse was third in the Kentucky Derby. So he's got a good bit of class about him. Forget last time he got messed about in a Grade 3 when sent off favourite. But the time before, he produced a career best performance in listed level. Literally, this is obviously a big step up for him. But he recorded a pretty decent time that day. He's an improving three-year-old, this horse, and they've won two of the last six running. So I think a double-digit quote, I'll be taking a chance on the Kentucky Derby third, Battle of Midway.
Battle of Midway then, 14-1 here at William Hill for that 10.05 race on the Friday. On to the 10.50 then, which is the juvenile turf over a mile. Two-year-old colts and geldings eligible for this one on the turf. And Massar and Mendelssohn head the betting at 9-2 apiece. 6-1 for James Garfield. Beckford 10-1. Catholic Boy 10-1. Untamed Domain is 10-1. Voting Control 10-1. 12-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. This is typically a bit of a European stronghold, this race. 6 wins in the last 9 years. And Europe, or more specifically the UK and Ireland, have got the first 4 in the betting here.
Yeah, it should be European win, you'd have thought. I mean, Voting Control is probably the best of the Americans, but he's only raced twice, so he's competing against horses here with a lot more experience. The European Raiders, and they've all performed to a very, very good level. It's a shame that US Navy Flag has been rerouted to the dirt because I was keen to take that one on. I thought he was flattered in the Dewhurst by the track bias there racing up the stand rail at Newmarket. The one I like is Godolphin's Massar, going to be ridden by William Buick. This horse was really impressive in the Solario Stakes at Sandown. And then when he raced in a Group 1 on Ark Day, the ground was soft. He pulled too hard. He didn't like the ground. To finish as close as he did in third, I thought was an exceptional performance. You've got to bear in mind as well, this horse was actually taken out of his intended debut on good to soft ground. So they've always been of the opinion that, you know, he doesn't want cut underfoot. I think they were forced. It was purely because it was a small field Group 1 that they took their chance at Chantilly. I expect to see this horse in a far better light on the faster ground. Of course, a stable one this few seasons back with Outstrip. And I think if Massar produces a career best performance, I expect him to, then granted luck in run, and he's drawn in six, which is pretty much bang in the middle, I think he'll take a lot of beating. Mendelssohn is interesting. I think the market's got this spot on. Mendelssohn, of course, was put in first-time blinkers when second to US Navy flag in the Dewhurst. He was keen enough that day under restraint. He's drawn in stall one here, so I think Ryan Moore will be forced to, you know, to be positive on this horse, and I think that could work in his favour. So I expect Mendelssohn to be a big danger. And again, James Garfield has to be, you know, he's Group 2 winner of the Mill Reef. The one concern with him is he's stepping up to a mile, and they kicked him off over five furlongs. I mean, he was placed at Royal Ascot over five. He's been beaten in both his runs over seven. So I just think he's a better horse over shorter.
Okay, Massar then gets the vote in that 10.50 race for Charlie Appleby and William Buick. On to the final Grade 1 on Friday night. The 11.35 is the Breeders' Cup Distaff, a Grade 1 for the fillies and the mares. It's over a mile and a furlong. Stellar Wind is the 15-8 favourite for this one. 134 Elate. Forever Unbridled, 130. 13-2 about Paradise Woods. Abel Tasman is 7-1. 20-1 Champagne Room. Romantic Vision, 25-1. 50-1 for Muppetism. No European interest in terms of the horses here, although Frankie Dettori does take the ride on the outsider Muppetism. But eight fillies and mares on the dirt here. Looks one of the harder races to get a grip on, I thought, Ali.
Yeah, it's always a tricky race with Distaff. It never attracts a big field, but it's normally chock full of quality. That's the case this year. I think the interesting angle is that there's no assured pace in this race. The only horse really that's guaranteed to go on is Paradise Woods. That one's the only the assured front runner. So we're not going to get a strong gallop here, and that's going to count against a few of these. A horse like Abel Tasman can take an age to get going, and when they don't go very quick, she tends to be very free as well. So I'd be, you know, I think it's a big negative for her, the fact that it could be slowly run. And even Stellar Wind, you know, that horse is definitely better with a strong pace to chase. And Forever Unbridled, who was just ahead of that horse when third in this 12 months ago, I think that mare could be vulnerable to a three-year-old with a bit of momentum behind it. So I'm going to take a chance on Elate. This horse was unlucky not to beat Abel Tasman in the American Oaks back in July, which, you know, since then she's been absolutely electric in winning her last two. Won a couple of Grade Ones by a combined total of 14 lengths, no doubt. And, you know, unless she's flattered by those, and the times would suggest that she's not, then I think she could be pretty special. I think he said she was second favourite, and she's a danger fit without question to the older mares here.
130 about Elate then, who chases for her third victory in a row. That's Friday night's action well and truly taken care of then. On to Saturday, where the Grade 1 races begin at 7 o'clock, and that is where we'll start our preview as well. We begin with the Juvenile Fillies race on the dirt. Two-year-old fillies in action here over an extended mile. Moonshine Memories is the 9-4 favourite. 9-2 for Heavenly Love. Separation of Powers is 5-1. 8-1 for Alluring Star. And he's 12-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. You made the point a little bit earlier on in the podcast, Alistair, that the American two-year-olds aren't campaigned that aggressively. And here we're dealing with certainly the market principles, very lightly raced individuals who've all won races, but we haven't seen that much on the track.
No, absolutely. I mean, Moonshine Memories has looked the part, obviously trained by Simon Callahan, who many of us are familiar with, of course, been training in America for a few seasons now. You know, he's had a few good horses in his hands, and this one's definitely another. readily accounted for both the Lurving Star and PD Bianchi in what is the traditionally influential Chandelier Stakes. And not only did that prove this filly's ability to go round two bends, but she also won the debutant stakes at this track as well the time before. So as we know, we mentioned earlier that, you know, course form is going to be influential. Moonshine Memories is absolutely rock solid. She's probably got the best form. She's got course form, expected to take a lot of beating. But it can produce some funny results this race. So I'm going to take a chance on a horse called Wonder Godot, who is one of three fairly life chances for the trainer Mark Cass. Heavenly Love would appear his first string after running away with a grade one at Keeneland. But Wonder Godot has won two of her three starts and absolutely hosed up by six lengths in a group three on Tapita last time, and I think she brings a lot of potential to dirt. She's bred to go on the surface, so what should be decent odds, I think Wonder Godot could represent a bit of value against Moonshine Memories, who is admittedly a worthy favourite.
Yeah, decent price as well for Wonder Godot, 14-1 for that 7 o'clock race on Saturday evening. On to the 7:37 yeah. Then this is the turf sprint, 5 furlongs to trip on the turf here, and Lady Aurelia is the even money favourite. Marsha is 4-1, 6-1 Disco Partner. Pure Sensation 16-1. Washington DC is 16-1, 20-1 for Bucero. Cot Eye Glory is 20-1. Stormy Liberal 20-1, 25-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. Typically not a race that Europe have all that many entries in, despite the fact that it is on the turf. Sidebin Soror's Diabolical finishing second in this race is the best Europe have ever done. But they're fairly well represented in this year's renewal. And the main headline thread here, Alistair, is going to be the renewal of rivalries between Lady Aurelia and Marsha, who were 1-2 in the Nunthorpe. Marsha got the better of Lady Aurelia on that occasion, but the betting has the American to reverse the form. Is that the way you see it?
Absolutely. I think, I still can't believe Marsha actually got up to beat a Lady Aurelia at York. I think had the ground been a bit quicker, I think what killed the favourite that day was the rain they had at York earlier in the week, and it just took the edge out of the ground. It was fairly dead. I mean, she had them completely cooked a furlong out, and, it was the dead ground, I think, that enabled Marsha to get up close home. I don't expect that to be the case this time. I mean, racing round a bend as well, you know, Lady Aurelia has just got frightening speed. If you think the first time she really gave notice of being an absolute superstar was when she won the Queen Mary by 7 lengths, which is just unheard of. And then you could probably say she took her form to an even higher level in the King's Stand again at Royal Ascot this year. And Marsha was absolutely blitzed by her that day. I think on quicker ground at the weekend, I fully expect Lady Aurelia to confirm form with Marsha, or Royal Ascot form at least. It's not a two-horse race by any means. Disco Partner's a horse that stays a mile, typically American, this, you know, very versatile ground-wise. But one thing they will do here is go absolutely manic up front. And if Lady Aurelia did happen to get taken on by something else and it did suit a closer, then, you know, Disco Partner would, she'll definitely know he's coming, because this horse has a lot of class about him, a lot of speed, and he's a danger. And one at big price as well, don't rule out the Charles Hills trained Cot Eye Glory. Doesn't win as often as he should, but just racing around a bend on a quick surface will suit this horse. He's a bit of a thinker, so everything's going to be happening so quick here, he won't actually have time to think about it, I don't think. And he could easily, he's got a lot of placed form at big prices. I think he's placed at Royal Ascot at 33s, in the Nunthorpe at 50s, so he could easily reach the frame at big odds. But I think all things being equal, you know, Lady Aurelia is going to take the world of beating.
Yeah, one of the shortest prices this week, Lady Aurelia, the even money favourite for that turf sprint. On to the 8:14 then. This is the Fillies and Mares sprint on the dirt this time, over 7 furlongs. Another grade one prize, of course, and Unique Bella heads the betting at 6-4. Sky Diamonds is 6-1. It is 8-1 for Finest City. Finley's Lucky Charm 12-1. With Paula's Silver Lining, then 14-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. A sprint in name, Alistair, but actually over a trip of 7 furlongs, which certainly in Europe is a little bit of a specialist trip. What kind of horse are you searching for here?
No, you're right, absolutely. It is a specialist trip, 7 furlongs. It's a bit of a, in Europe, it's sort of a prolonged sprint, isn't it? So you do want a horse that's familiar with the distance. I mean, Unique Bella, if you listen to some of the locals, I think this horse is totally unbeatable. But as you said, she's 6-4. She's very talented, admittedly. Waltzed home in all four appearances this year in very good times. You know, she is without a doubt a bit of a standout, but she takes a big percentage of the market, and I think we could expect a good run from last year's winner, Finest City. Think back 12 months ago, and she did really well to overcome a wide draw. And back in the summer of 2016, you know, this mare finished hot on the heels of the likes of Beholder and Stellar Wind in a Grade One at Santa Anita. You know, she's got absolute top class form to her name. And if Unique Bella does happen to, you know, to blow out, then something's got to pick up the pieces. And I think Finest City could well be the value. Admittedly, she's not looked the same horse this season, but she does come here on the back of a break, and you can guarantee, having won this last year, you know, Connections will have only had one race in mind since that final run in early July. And we know from history that this horse can go well fresh. So I expect Finest City to put up a fairly bold defence of it, you know, of its crown.
8-1 for Finest City then in this year's renewal of the Fillies and Mares Sprint on the Dirt. That's the 8:14 on Saturday night. On to the 9 o'clock, which is the Fillies and Mares on the Turf over a mile and a furlong here. Lady Eli is the 11-4 favourite. Rhododendron is 7-2. 7-1 for Queen's Trust. Wuhedia is 10-1. 12-1 Cambodia. Nezwa 12-1. Senga 12-1. 14s and bigger prices the rest. We've got the two most successful trainers in this race represented here. Chad Brown's won the race three times, as has Sir Michael Stout. They've both got fancied runners. Rhododendron in the mix as well for Aidan O'Brien. We'll start with Queen's Trust, Alistair, who won the race last year, but hasn't quite looked the same horse in a four-year-old season.
Not yet. I mean, obviously, just edged out Lady Eli 12 months ago. What we need to remember as well is that this race is actually over a furlong shorter this year. It's staged over a mile and one furlong instead of 10 furlongs. Admittedly, Queen's Trust doesn't quite look the same horse this season, but saying that, she was only two lengths off Highland Reel in the Prince of Wales Stakes at Royal Ascot, and was hot on the heels of stablemate Elysees that day. So while her form figures don't look great for the season, that piece of form alone entitles her to serious respect. And, you know, she's not always had a ground either this season. She wants a decent surface. She'll get that. That's what she had at Royal Ascot. That's what triggered the that seasonal best. I think she'll go very well, Queen's Trust. I expect her to take a lot of beating. Lady Eli is absolutely rock solid at the top of the market. You know, we're talking about a top-class race mare here who's won a Grade One in each of her last four seasons, including, of course, the Juvenile Fillies Turf, was second in this 12 months ago, so has got a lot of, Breeders' Cup pedigree. I think you could talk about this race for now. It's absolutely intriguing. Rhododendron should go well, but the one I like at a decent price is Nezwa, trained by Roger Berrien. I mean, she wins absolutely nothing on her last couple of runs. She was very disappointing as favourite in the EP Taylor Stakes at Woodbine last time out. And before that, ran a fairly flat race behind Enable in the Yorkshire Oaks. But what we've got to remember is that the ground was soft on both those occasions. And, you know, this filly needs fast ground. The last time she got fast ground, she was a really impressive winner with the Pretty Polly Stakes at the Curragh back in the summer. Beat a horse that day called Rain Goddess, who isn't a superstar, admittedly, but she was second in the Irish Oaks to Enable, and, you know, she's pretty decent. And Nezwa made her look very ordinary that day at the Curragh. They actually had this horse in the turf. That is the one negative, whether a mile one round Delmar is going to be on the tight side. You know, that career best performance came over a mile and a quarter at the Curragh, which is a galloping track. So this will be a different test altogether for Nezwa, but she's a really good looking filly who looked an absolute superstar that day in Ireland, and I just think that she remains, you know, granted top of the ground, she's a real unknown quantity. So I'd be at double figure odds, I'd definitely take a chance with Nezwa. I mean, she was a hot favourite for that EP Taylor at Woodbine last time, which is always a strong race, so she's definitely the forgotten horse of the race.
Okay, and Nezwa then at 12-1, offering a little bit of value in the 9 o'clock. We go to the 9:37 then, back on the dirt now for the Breeders' Cup Sprint. Six furlongs in front of them here, and Drifong is the 11-8 favourite. 9-2 for Roy H. Mind Your Biscuits 11-2, 13-2 for Tackerful. Imperial Hint is 8-1, 16-1 Ransom the Moon, 20-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. The only blot on this favourite's copybook was an unseat two starts ago. That did come on its only visit to Del Mar, Alistair. How concerned are you about that?
Not really. I think it was just a bit of a freakish incident. What I am concerned about is that this horse has only actually had one completed start since winning this last year. There's no doubt he's the key horse, as the market would suggest. And he was very impressive last year because him and Mind Your Biscuits went absolutely hell for leather. And, Drafong did remarkably well to actually hang on that day. But as I said, he's only had one completed start in the meantime, and that was when exploiting a really soft lead to win as he liked at Saratoga. So I'm not sure that told us anything new. If he's left alone up front, then the chances are he's going to win. But there's plenty of other potential opposition to bustle him up, and I can't believe they'll be that naive and just let him have a soft lead up front. So I think the odds of, he's so short in the market, I think we've got to look elsewhere. Ransom the Moon was the one who benefited from Drafong's early departure in that Grade 1 Bing Crosby over the course and distance in July. But I thought he was lucky that day to beat Roy H, who got hampered by the riderless Drafong. And then he gained his revenge when the front two again locked horns at Santa Anita, and he did so very easily. I think this horse is versatile tactics-wise. I think he's more than happy to settle for a lead. And I think he could possibly run down Drafong in the closing stages. So Roy H is the one for me here. I will also mention Imperial Hint, who, this is a big step up in class for this horse, but he's been absolutely making hay sort of under the radar, if you like. In the one of his performances, he posted the bare speed figure of 109, which is absolutely sky high, and that would definitely suggest that this horse will not be out of his depth. So I think it's down to a three-horse war for me. Roy H to beat Drafong and Imperial Hint.
OK, Roy H then at 9-2, a chance given to that one in the 9:37. On to one of the races with maximum European interest now, the 10:19 is the Breeders' Cup Mile on the turf. World Approval is the 2-1 favourite for this one. 7-2 about Ribchester. Roly Poly is 11-2. Zelzal 10-1. 12-1 Lancaster Bomber. Soudoir is 12-1. 20-1 and bigger prices for the rest of them. Obviously, plenty of people would love to see Ribchester get his head back in front on what is going to be the horse's swan song. Alistair, just been a little bit in and out late. There's just been a couple of defeats this season where he wasn't priced to taste defeat. And this is, in every sense of the word, a very strong Grade One.
It is. I think I must be missing something here. I don't see why Ribchester isn't favourite. He's one of the world standout milers. I thought he lost a little in defeat in the QE2. Persuasive was given a very canny ride by Frankie Dettori, keeping that filly out of the wind. And the ground was soft enough. I mean, this horse, was very impressive in the Lockinge on deep ground. There's no doubt he's a better horse on better ground. I mean, he really should be the market leader here. World Approval was made favourite for this after giving weight and a good beating to a host of European horses at Woodbine recently. But, in second that day was Lancaster Bomber, who, he's an okay horse, but he's not remotely in the same class as Ribchester. I mean, he's been beaten, 11 times on the trot since winning a maiden in Ireland as a two-year-old. And I just don't see how on that bare form World Approval is made favourite. I really don't. I think Ribchester should be market leader, but the one I'm going to take a chance on is the French-trained Zelzal, who, again, is a bit of a forgotten horse, this fellow. He's not had things go his way this season. He's got form figures of second, fourth and sixth, but he was a very high-class three-year-old. He didn't... He sort of fluffed his lines, if you like, when one of the favourites for the French 2000 Guineas. But then he showed his class with back-to-back group wins, including a really impressive performance in the Prix Jean Prat at Chantilly. Now, as I said, this season, it hasn't really got off the ground for him, but he was given far too much to do on his reappearance, which is basically just a stepping stone to bigger and better things. And the last twice in Group 1 company... the ground was way too soft for him in the Sussex Stakes at Goodwood. And then even in the Prix de la Forêt last time, over 7 furlongs, he moved like the best horse in the race, but just didn't get home on the soft ground. This horse has got an electric change of gear when on his game. I think this horse may have just been... He's only had 3 runs this season. And I think it's been in the back of Connection's mind all year to save him for this race, where the French have a good record. He's going to get the ground for the first time this season. He's going to be fresher than most. As long as he's the same horse as he was as a three-year-old, and admittedly there's a bit of guesswork involved, know, to make a case that he is. But if he is, then I think he's well overpriced, this horse. He's got an electric change of gear, and this race will be run to, you know, to suit him down to the ground. So I think Ribchester should be favourite. I think he'll take a lot of beating. There's nothing not to like. But from a value perspective, expect a good run from the French-trained Zelzal.
Zelzal 10-1 in the betting then for the Breeders' Cup Mile. On to the 10.58 now, where we are back on the dirt for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, a grade one over an extended mile, and Bolt d'Oro is the 11-10 favourite. 5-1 for Free Drop Billy. Firenze Fire is 8-1. The only European raider in the race is the Dewhurst winner, US Navy Flag, at 8-1. 10-1 for Good Magic. The Tabulator 14-1. 16-1 for Solomini. You mentioned a little bit earlier on, you would have been keen to take on US Navy Flag on the turf. I presume you're even more keen to take him on the dirt. And he comes up against a horse in the shape of Bolt d'Oro, who's looked pretty special so far, has won two grade ones already in his career. He's only had three races. And critically, is proven here at the track.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I'd be well against the US Navy Flag. I think he's crying out to be opposed. The trip and the surface, you know, are both unknown territory. And I just can't buy into the fact that he wasn't flattered by that Spans Rail advantage in the Dewhurst. So, yeah, Bolt d'Oro is going to take the world of beating here. I mean, this horse was born to win this race. He's got a near-perfect dirt pedigree. He's by dual classic runner-up, Medaglia d'Oro, and he's out of an AP Indy mare. He cost $630,000 US dollars as a yearling. You know, he was bought with this race in mind, and as you said, you know, so far so good. He's unbeaten in three starts. Back-to-back wins at this track, and then he produced an amazing performance, really, in the front-runner stakes at Santa Anita, coming home no less than 8 lengths to the good. The time was impressive enough anyway, and yet it could have even been better. You know, he wasn't unduly stretched that day. He's tactically versatile. He's proven at the track. He's got the best form. You know, he looks a good thing to me.
Bolt d'Oro then looking a good thing in the 10.58, 11-10 to make it 4 wins out of 4. In that Breeders' Cup Juvenile, we go back to the turf for the 11.37. This is the Breeders' Cup turf race over a mile and a half. And Highland Reel heads affairs here at 2-1. Last year's winner, of course, Ulysses is 9-4. 8-1 for Beach Patrol. Decorated Knight 8-1. 12-1 Seventh Heaven. Cliffs of Moher is 20-1. Oscar Performance 20-1. Talismanic 20-1. Also 25-1. And bigger prices for the remainder. This is a race that Europe generally do pretty well in as well. They've won 9 of the last 12 renewals. No surprise to see them having a strong hand here. And the betting headed by last year's winner, Highland Reel. And this is likely to be his final race as well, Alistair. He's been an admirable performer, a real globetrotter, has won grade ones all over the world. What chances does he have of retaining his crown here?
Every chance, I think. Yeah, you're right. Europe have won this 9 times out of the last 12. They've won 20 out of 33. You know, I think the last American horse to win it was Main Sequence, and even he was basically one of ours, wasn't he? Because he ran in the Derby and was trained by David Lanigan for much of his career. So yeah, I think the Europeans are definitely sitting pretty here, and Highland Reel and Ulysses, they've definitely got the worthy market leaders. I think tactics will ultimately determine who wins. Obviously, Highland Reel was basically gifted this 12 months ago. I mean, I don't know what everybody said, it was a tactical masterclass by Shamey Heffernan, but you do have to wonder what the others were thinking of letting a horse of this quality, you know, gifting him basically 6-7 lengths advantage. You know, it was never going to be for catching up the straight. Of course, Ulysses was one of those who couldn't make up the ground. The Ulysses who runs on Saturday is a very different one to the, you know, the horse that ran last year. Obviously finished fourth then, but after getting beaten in grade three at Windsor, this season could barely have gone any better for Sir Michael Stout's horse, of course winning two high profile races in the Eclipse and the Judd Monty. I think the key piece of form here is their clash in the Prince of Wales Stakes at Royal Ascot, because that's the only time they've really met with the ground, as it will be at the weekend. And you know, Highland Reel came out on top that day. I expect him to do so on Saturday with Ryan Moore pulling the strings. I don't think he'd be granted ace as soft a lead as he was 12 months ago, but even so, you know, a mile and a half on quick ground on an American track is what this horse is all about. And I think Highland Reel's going to take a lot of beating, even though Ulysses has had this race as his long-term objective all season. In fairness, they've been going on about you know, America being his final destination, no matter what was going to happen through the summer. He did have a hard enough race in the Arc. I know horses beaten in the Arc actually have a good record in this race, but even so, Ulysses has had a fairly tough time of it in recent weeks, whereas Highland Royal's been having an absolute ball, really, for, you know, given the way this horse is usually campaigned. I think he's only ran once since July. So he's been, you know, saved for this specific end-of-season assignment, and I expect him to put up a very bold defence.
Highland Royal then could well sign off in his glittering career with another win in this race. The 2-1 favourite for the Breeders' Cup Turf. On to the big race then. This is the Breeders' Cup Classic, due off at 12.35 UK time, racing over a mile and a quarter on the dirt here. And Gunrunner heads affairs at 15-8, 9-4 for Arrogate, 11-2 West Coast, Collected is 6-1, 16-1 Churchill. Mubtahij is in the betting at 20-1. It's bigger prices for the rest of them. No surprise, perhaps, to see that Europe don't have a great record in this race. Only two of the previous 33 winners of the Classic were trained in Europe. Andre Farb in 1993, and John Gosden had the winner of this with Raven's Pass in 2008. Aidan O'Brien sends a couple, but this looks as though it's all about Gunrunner and Arrogate. Arrogate put up one of the all-time performances in the Dubai World Cup, having been hampered at the start and then mowed them all down to beat Gunrunner. But since that performance, has been beaten twice at long odds on Arrogate, and the vibes, at least now, Alistair, are that the horse is beginning to work a little bit like his old self again. But it's interesting because since they met in Maidan, Gunrunner's gone on to win his next three races, so it could be pretty tight between the two. I think, certainly for me, it's a hard one to weigh up. Can you separate the pair?
Yeah, no, you're right. It is a bit of a guessing game, really. It's whether Bob Baffert has got this horse back to his brilliant best. And I think it's much of a mental thing as a physical thing. You know, I think he's just complacency has basically sort of crept into his game. And, you know, he's always looked a lazy horse, even when at his best. But I don't know. I mean, he's been beaten twice at the track as well. I know he won the first time, but last two defeats have come at Del Mar. It makes you even wonder if this horse is back to his best. You know, does he have it in him to show his best form at this course? He's a risky one at the odds. I think Gunrunner obviously is a horse with momentum behind him, but he was literally blitzed up by Arrogate at Maidan earlier in the year. And I just think this could be prime for an upset. I do. I think Gunrunner is plenty short enough. Arrogate, I just can't bring myself to trust, even though I'd love him to win and come back to his very best. I'm going to take a chance on a horse called West Coast, who is also trained by Bob Baffert and actually has a very similar profile to the one that Arrogate brought into this race 12 months ago, in that he was unraced at two. He was beaten on his debut as a three-year-old, but then basically his career then took off. And like Arrogate, he absolutely bolted up in the Travers Stakes. And then it was encouraging, I thought, to see him back up that performance with an equally easy win in the Pennsylvania Derby. It has to be said, you know, his time's been not compared to what the older horses have been clocking, but, you know, to win any grade one by the thick end of eight lengths marks this horse down as a real talent. And even though the Travers Stakes was always a graveyard for horses coming to the Classic, I think there were 22 successive winners of the Travers were actually beaten here before Arrogate did the double 12 months ago. So it can be done. So I think West Coast's an interesting horse here. Three-year-olds do hold their own. They've won 12 of the 33 renewals, so and five of the last 10 as well. So an improving three-year-old is, you know, is a horse that commands absolute maximum respect, and I think West Coast could be the lively one here. As for Churchill, must mention him, of course, very bold move by Connections to run him here, but, you know, Aidan O'Brien is 0-14 in this race, and it always seems to be a bit of an afterthought. I think that's definitely the case with this horse, so personally I wouldn't be touching him with a barge pole, so West Coast for me.
West Coast for Alistair. Yeah, it's been, as you say, a record-breaking season for Aidan O'Brien, but to get a horse to win the Guineas and then to get it to win a Breeders' Cup Classic all those many months later, and he's been on the go for a long time, Churchill. A Connection's just sort of taking a stab at this, because if he does somehow win the race, it'll be, an absolute goldmine in terms of breeding fees going forward.
Absolutely, yeah, and I suppose given what he's achieved, and he's been beaten plenty of times as well, so there's nothing to lose. It's very similar to what they did with Glen Eagles, wasn't it, a couple
yes.
of years ago? But, you know, declaration of war went close, but other than that, this just smacks of an afterthought. And yeah, they you know, fair play to them. They've got nothing to lose, really, by running him in the race, but I just can't see it.
Okay. West Coast then at 11-2, the one for Alistair in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Thank you very much for that, Ali. Interesting as ever. Just give us a couple of ideas of your better bets then at Del Mar over the 2 days of racing for the Breeders' Cup meeting 2017.
I think the two horses that I'd be having bets on would be Nezwar and the filly and Mare Turf. I just think on faster ground, this filly is a complete unknown quantity. The concern is whether she's quite got the pace to cope with the mile and one. I think had this been over the extra furlong, confidence would be higher. But at the end of the day, she's a big price for a horse that's very talented. And the other one is Zelzal. If this four-year-old is as good as he was a three-year-old, then he could easily return to his best on the fast ground of Del Mar. So there'd be my two against the rest.
Okay, a couple of European raiders to maybe keep on side then at Del Mar, Nezwa and Zelzal for Alistair. Do remember you can watch all of the Breeders' Cup racing for free and live on William Hill's Betting TV at wh.cm/TV or via the William Hill app and on the William Hill website as well. Alistair, thank you very much for that. Pleasure as always, and enjoy the racing at Del Mar.
Cheers, Sam. Many thanks.
They're off in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Watch the Breeders' Cup for free on William Hill's Betting TV. There'll be live studio analysis in the UK and experts stateside with the call live from Del Mar.
Arrowgate steals the show in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Plus, all your betting online and on the William Hill app. Watch the Breeders' Cup for free on Betting TV, on the app or at wh.cm/TV.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.